Welcome, everyone, to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Aaron Dykes. Today is Thursday, September 6, 2012.
Tonight, hundreds of letters of complaints about the TSA's invasive grope downs released this week under the Freedom of Information Act. Meanwhile, InfoWars reporters confront the TSA in Austin.
What are you going to do to me?
I'm not being confrontational. I'm just standing up here as an American that wants to defend my civil liberties and my rights.
The bottom line is the First Amendment, Jack.
Yeah, the First Amendment, sir.
Then, a look at the global economy and the impending financial collapse. Plus, see DARPA run for the purpose of emergency response and humanitarian missions. All that, plus students and parents revolt against RFID tracking of kids at San Antonio schools. That's up next, the InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight in the news, another airport hoax, as they're saying, a liquid explosive scare. Oh, just by coincidence, days after our InfoWars.com story went viral on the net, showing TSA now inspecting drinks after the checkpoint. After you've been through the body scanners, the grope downs, what have you, they have roaming TSA agents in what they call secondary, and they're literally putting little devices in your coffee drinks, in waters you buy from the airport-approved stores. This is all on Fox. Fox News, AP, you name it. Kurt Nimmo has the story at InfoWars.com about how the man accused by a phone call of having liquid explosives was not even accused of a crime, was not even considered a suspect, yet they dragged him off the plane in handcuffs, apparently just for a PR stunt to reinforce to the public that there is this danger. It somehow has to do with liquids, and maybe it's reasonable if they just keep checking more and more things at the airport, if they just roll out to every transportation hub, to every sector of public life. Just get used to the TSA, because there's always some threat ready to be manufactured. Never mind that it's always an FBI sting operation, admittedly in the news just days after these big events happen. Never mind that they helped get the underwear bomber on the planes with State Department clearance and apparent handlers. All these patsies accused of terrorism, not what they're supposed to be, but that's only admitted in the, you know, page 20 of the newspaper under a little asterisk after the public themselves, not really paying attention to the details, are convinced that there's still this ongoing threat. It's just ridiculous what's going on. Meanwhile, our new InfoWars reporters went to the airport yesterday to get some questions, try to talk to public information officers and other supervisors about the TSA procedures that have been ramped up here in Austin and across the country. They were, of course, intimidated, and they didn't get their questions answered. They just got threatened with arrest and temporarily detained. That footage is all coming up, including an exclusive interview with those crew members, Dan Bedondi, Linda West, John Bowne, and that will be in the next segment. Meanwhile, the FOIA letters have finally been released of TSA complaints about them touching genitals, different private parts, both men and women, not just through the pants, not just in the pat-downs, but directly touching parts of the genitals. Of course, we knew this because of the reports that came out day by day, case by case, but this has all been covered up by TSA. If you read their official TSA blog by the practically anonymous blogger Bob, it always says how millions of Americans pass through the airports all without complaint, and most people are happy, and there's very few complaints. Well, it turns out they've been fighting legal battles to try to suppress the release of all those complaints. And of course, very few people actually take the time and trouble to file those complaints. Only the most outraged people, people who've had rape in their past, people who've been sexually abused, people who are sexually abused, they say in the reports by the government officials. And of course, their favorite harassment point, people with urostomy bags, colostomy bags, other medical devices, because they love when people come with their medical cards and warn the TSA screeners that they have specific medical conditions. Well, that's a de facto cue for extra harassment. Let's see if we can get those medical bags to spill over. Let's see if we can have urine out in the aisles at the checkpoints, and you name it. We know this abuse is going on, but it's just even more incriminating that they fought so hard that places like ProPublica had to fight 4 years to get public information about these complaint letters from TSA. The other organization in this story, governmentaddict.org, spent more than 2 years just trying to get the complaints, and they won't change the procedures because of that, but it really should tell you something. All the exact stuff we've been covering at Infowars.com, that Drudge Report has been reporting for years now, that they denied, that people wrote reports trying to downplay it. No, it's all been going on. Now it's proven. Anyway, moving on, Apple has a new patent, patent number 8,245,902, to allow disabling of iPhone cameras on a location-specific basis. And the fear, of course, because of all the intimidation we've seen of cameramen around the country, particularly at political events, is that this will eventually be deployed during protests, political events, other special events, anything considered national security, to make sure no unauthorized footage can come out, to make sure that citizen journalists will be harassed but also suppressed, and that they won't even be able to record their footage. They're also saying the legitimate uses would be in places like movie theaters and academic institutions, I guess, to keep people from copyright infringement or from cheating using their iPhones. Well, the point is, you paid for these iPhones. Part of the feature that drew you to the iPhones was the awesome cameras they have. It's great how you can film stuff on the scene and spontaneously get footage up to the web. In fact, we were told that was the big Democratic push in the Arab Spring, how these repressive Middle Eastern regimes would never let out information about what's going on in their countries, but these spontaneous rebels on the ground there were able to break that wall and get things up to the internet, thanks to these new tech firms. But now, all that despotic regime stuff is, of course, really solidifying, cementing at home, not just coming here, but becoming hardened, embattled. And they've got a new toy to play with that would erect a geofence and prevent people from filming in unauthorized locations. Just despicable, as there's this continued harassment of photographers, you name it. In fact, Linda West has the story that came out last night about how the LAPD is now arresting photographers. They've had a new policy on the books for a little over a year now, and really their real policy was already in place as far back as 2008, that they consider anyone taking pictures of infrastructure or government buildings or anything else they decide is suspicious is terroristically suspicious. And you've seen the training videos. We have them in films like Fall of the Republic and Obama Deception, of the FBI's counterterrorism training manuals, where they look in the back seats of cars and see sleeping bags and binoculars and say that could be a terrorist camping out in a car. And also, anyone with a camera has to be run through the terror database and checked against the watch list, because photography is really a dangerous thing. It's all because these despots don't want their activities recorded on tape. They don't want to be held accountable. That's the whole point of tyranny. You don't want to counter opposition. So they've got a new basis in L.A. to harass photographers, and if this is allowed to take root, it's going to spread across the whole country. They've got cases, for instance, of Gregory Moore, who was threatened with arrest and put in handcuffs because he was taking pictures on his front lawn and there was a courthouse in the background. Stuff like that is going on. Of course, it's double for anyone covering political events, trying to cause a stir, trying to hold places accountable, as our reporters did at the airports, which is specifically the place that the LAPD is saying is illegal to film at. There is no law against filming at airports of TSA checkpoints, but they don't want that stuff in the news, because they know they're doing very controversial things. They just want the public to accept it. But here it is in the codes. It's all just a policy, and we're told it's against the law. Of course it isn't. And, of course, the potential for technological harassment has hit home once again. We've got the story up on InfoWars about how Russell Bowden, our new editor of the InfoWars magazine, the print version, got a call from the NSA, and this is just the system letting you know that's the house we built. We're going to spy on you because spy tech companies built up that thing. Sure, technology is double-edged. Yeah, it could be used for good, to hold government tyrants accountable, to document other kinds of abuse in non-government sectors, but when you get right down to it, we control the back doors. That's the message the NSA wants you to know, and we've seen it in the buildup in the infrastructure. The 1997 Telecommunications Act, passed under Clinton, mandated that your money as a consumer and your money as a taxpayer would go to fund the government's backdoors into all the technology, the emerging cell phones, the television, all of it, the internet especially, and they want you to know you are under surveillance. That's how they're going to use that technology. So when you see stuff like the iPhones having these kill switches for camera functions and everything else, that's the way the system is going to control it. Even though it's a very liberating technology, seems to have good uses, the real use that the government's going to have for it is all in there. And you've seen the executive orders reissued under Obama, but issued under past presidents for a takeover of communications. Any despotic regime is going to control communications because they have to control the perception of their phony government, their illegitimate government, their unconstitutional government. And we're seeing it here with the treatment of photographers as though they were suspected terrorists, guilty until proven innocent as usual. In other technology news, DARPA is unveiling the Cheetah. It's been tested. It was already running some 18 miles an hour, but now it's running more than 28.3 miles an hour, faster than the fastest 100-meter sprint racer Usain Bolt. And that's just one of the many robots under development about to be deployed. And they're telling us this very fast cheetah humanoid robot is going to be used for humanitarian missions, disaster relief. It's going to rush in there and save the day. But then you look closer at the other robots being developed by DARPA, and it's for things like the 2008 Pentagon contract to build a multi-robot pursuit system that's meant to track down non-cooperative humans and pursuit evasion scenarios. And all these robots are moving towards fully autonomous. There's kind of intermediate steps where they're mostly autonomous. They're moving to full autonomous with these robots, and they've got all types of different ones. The pet human robot, the one that climbs up walls, the one that's basically a pack mule, and really the real technological experts, people who really built the internet, people who really were involved in the development of AI, they've all warned that this stuff is threatening to take over our whole society, but somehow those cries are never heard. And they go on in Paul Watson's article. He's got all the notes here in the New Scientist magazine, for example. They point out how these emerging DARPA robots are going to be used for crowd control, for riot control, to control the pesky humans who may be having a backlash against these horrible government policies, the economic crash planned by design, and on and on. It's moving towards George Lucas's THX-1138, where you've got, of course, robots guarding these humans who are also under mind control. But it's going to be far worse than that. It's going to be full Terminator level. If we could rein that stuff in, it would be nice, but I don't see that coming. In economic news, there's fresh jobs data, phony jobs data that is, as the private sector supposedly added 201,000 jobs in August, much better than the 140,000 jobs they were expecting to add. And why is this news coming out at this point in time, such happy economic jobs growth news? Well, we're in the middle of the Democratic National Convention, and Obama needs to use positive jobs reports in his speech. They've got a report at CNBC.com, part of the MSNBC complex owned by General Electric, about will he or won't he? Obama faces jobs report dilemma. It's about how great the new jobs report is, but how it hasn't been officially released until after Obama's speech. So will he be allowed to talk about it? After all, it's this great accomplishment Obama made. Shouldn't he be allowed to brag and grandstand about how he's single-handedly saving the economy and rebuilding things just in time for all this political stunt? The build-up to the general election, well, I think we see what's going on. The real economists, the people who really study labor trends, who've studied the manufacturing trends over the past half decade and century, people like Paul Craig Roberts, have long pointed out that these are made-up statistics for jobs. They are, in fact, a mirage. They do things like pad for seasonal adjustment. They do things like add jobs just based on birth and death numbers, stuff like that. Just completely made-up manufactured numbers. But that doesn't stop them from putting it in the headlines. Obama creates 200,000 new jobs, really reviving the economy. All those jobs are minimum wage jobs. Most of them are under $10 an hour. Most of them don't even meet the standards you need for living standards in most of the major cities. Then we see the other economic news. Three times as many Americans entering poverty as gain jobs. These numbers come from the month of June, but they closely coordinate with the other months. And it has 170,000 new people just in the month of June getting on food stamps, while only 64,000 people found a job. And you look more closely at their graph. Back in April 2006, throughout the year of 2006, you had roughly 25 million people on food stamps. 6 years later, now that we're here in 2012, you've got almost 50 million people on food stamps. And it climbed gradually from the start of the supposed economic crisis in September 2008 from about 30 million on food stamps and has steadily grown to 47 million people on food stamps, an all-time record. That is also in CNN Money as it records how more than 50 million Americans are short of food, not getting enough to eat. Of course, that impacts children. Of course, that impacts families. And only half of those, a little over half, about 57%, are even on the food stamp programs. The other people are not even yet on those food stamp programs. And they've been pushing in the USDA, they've been pushing in different sectors of the government for more people to get on food stamps. Record high numbers are not enough. The economic collapse is coming. They want to make sure the bulk of the population are almost completely dependent on government and living on very little money, mind you. And so you've got them approaching seniors. They're staging bingo and crossword puzzle games to get more seniors to sign up for food stamps. It was in the news a couple weeks ago how the USDA has partnered with Mexico to push food stamps for migrant workers, for Mexican nationals, for illegal immigrants, for legal immigrants. They want as many people as possible sucking off the welfare system because they're not going to repair the economy. Those job numbers are a mirage and illusion. They're not repairing the economy, and they want total control when they implode it.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
We are back on the InfoWars Nightly News, and we're going to deal now with an issue that is so important for the future of humanity. It is so central to the reason this country was founded, the basic ideas of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, of religious freedom, of being an individual in an age when we've been conditioned to accept technology creeping up on us. We're always wowed and amazed and wooed by the new cool things technology can do, and we're always just trained to ignore the fact that it's converging on a point of tracking us in a total control grid. Every piece of technology is leading up to this. It's integrating. This kind of technology started with the adoption of social security numbers and other IDs, but it is now at the point of total high tech. It's being pushed on school kids, other vulnerable groups, people who haven't reached the age of consent, who don't yet have the wisdom to say no to this. But one family is saying no. We need so many more families to join them in that fight. We are joined now by the Hernandez family. They're in San Antonio saying no to the school that wants them to mandatorily wear an ID badge with an RFID tracker inside of it. Thanks for joining us, Steve, the father, Andrea at school there, and John Jay, and of course your son as well. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So tell us about the specific program that's being introduced and some of the major issues going on in San Antonio, which, by the way, is being rolled out all across Texas and all across the nation. Right now it's kind of in tester beta programs, but they want to expand it. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. this program is being implemented at John Jay High School and Anson Jones Middle School, the only two schools with the lowest attendance rate in the city. they're putting RFID tracking chips in their kids' badges. They want to make it mandatory, and they want to make the rest of the school district pick it up. And there's 112 schools in that school district.
So they're starting with two, but it's going to 112 schools.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Just in San Antonio.
Just in San Antonio, just in the NISD school district. They're making it mandatory that the kids have to wear it. If not, they cannot participate in certain programs at school. They cannot get their lunch or check out library books if they don't wear these badges. And we stood up and said, no, absolutely not, because we felt like it stepped on our religious freedom.
Right.
And when we got back into town, we got this letter from the NISD board saying that on August 10th, that this is when this letter was dated, that the kids would start wearing these badges. And they sent it out really close to the day that the kids had to go get their badges and register for school, because they didn't want any arguments. They didn't want anybody to resist it. But unfortunately for them, I resisted. And I went on my local news station. I said, no, my daughter will not wear this badge. They had already done a story and said, hey, we want to talk to you more about it. And now we are here today with you on your show to speak more about this.
And we do have a clip from that news piece. So let's go to that right now, and then we'll come back and enlarge the discussion.
Starting tomorrow, about 4,000 students at John Jay High School and Anson Jones Middle School must wear a new and controversial photo ID called the Radio Frequency Identification System. It tracks students while they're on campus. Some call it a spy chip. Andrea says many students just won't wear it.
I know that there's kids who will, hey, man, can you hold this? I'm going to go across the street to go get tacos.
She said others might stick it in a locker to avoid monitoring.
That NISD is a school district. They're not a government.
And so there is that. There's, of course, more up on the websites. But, Steve, Andrea, what's been the reaction to that news piece, and what are people saying about the fact that you don't want to go along with the system?
A lot of people are just like, oh, you're just whining. Oh, you're just complaining. You just want for the attention. And I was like, no, this is, you know, this is wrong. Northside does not have the right to do this to us. And they're just like, oh, just wear the badge. You know, it's just a badge. I was like, no, this is a lot bigger than just a badge, and it's a lot more than that as well.
It really is. And Steve?
I had a guy at work actually tell me I was just exploiting this for my own benefit. I don't see how that could be, because I'm not getting paid for this. What am I exploiting? What I'm trying to exploit here is the injustice of this school district. This school district sits here and believes that they can mandate to parents and students and teachers what they can and cannot do. I've been watching it for the last 7-8 years that I've been back in San Antonio, and I've had to go up against the school district several times on different issues. They literally believe what they say is gold, it's solid, and you must do it. If not, you know, you're done. You better do as asked.
They really want to usurp the rights of parents, among other things. But you've seen stories in the past few years, it's been leading up, different school districts across the country where they want you to thumbprint for a lunch, where you have to show some kind of ID card, you know, to get a library book or something. Back in 1999, there were students in Louisiana in one town revolting against the fact they were made to wear badges with their social security number tied to a barcode. But this trumps all of that, because this RFID code, it ties into your social security number, to your name, to your photo, and they want you to use this to buy your meals at school, to get the library books, all of it. It's all being integrated.
Yeah,
absolutely. they say these chips can't be tracked except for inside the school. And Wade Garcia, who actually implemented all of this into both those schools, has come on radio publicly and said, hey, you know, we had to wait several years to get the previous superintendent out so that we get this new guy in there. And he'll go ahead and prove it. I mean, he's admitted to it, that this has been in plan for about the last 2 years, several years. So he also states that, hey, these things never shut off. They always emit a signal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they're always emitting a signal, that means anybody with an RFID tracker can actually pull up your information. Anybody with basic computer knowledge can actually pull this up.
Yeah, it's true. They're very easy to hack, and that means sexual predators are going to be hacking. That means lawless authorities, people abusing their power, are going to be hacking the systems, probably with a ready-to-go index of students and teachers and everyone else. It's total inventory control, open season for people who are predators, wolves inside a system of people who are still sheeps, people who aren't grown up yet. It would be bad enough to do it to adults.
Absolutely. And what they don't seem to understand, they're stepping on civil liberties, religious freedom, and these children who aren't old enough to make decisions for their own, they're being conditioned and told, you have to do it this way. So what they're doing is taking the voices away from the children, away from the parents, Even teachers, I know some teachers who are afraid to stand up because they don't want to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
They're taking away the voice of the people. But guess what? I'm here for the voice of the people. And even for those who disagree with me, I'm fighting for you, your children, your families. Not just for my two children and my family. I'm fighting for every person out there. I've been misquoted several times saying that I said this is the mark of the beast and all this fun stuff. I didn't say it was the mark of the beast. I said this is how they condition the people. Okay? But there is a correlation there.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the Bible it says you can't buy, sell, you can't participate pretty much in the economy if you don't have the mark of the beast. But guess what? In that school, they're being told, hey, you can't buy your lunch unless you have this badge. You can't get your library books unless you have this badge. Sounds very similar to me.
It was extremely prescient, and people like to discount Bible prophecy, but it's so strongly worded. Everyone knows about that passage. You can read it if you want. How did they know that was coming? Doesn't matter. If it's just dictators, if it's just men on earth and not devils running things, they've still gone with the same plan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the Bible wasn't true, I wouldn't be sitting here today with you. That's just plain and simple. If it wasn't in there, it wasn't written. I was 5 years old when my parents started teaching me the Bible and taking me to church. Now imagine, if you will, 11 o'clock at night, you're 5 years old, you can barely keep your eyes open, your dad has you down on the carpet talking and reading you the Bible, and he starts talking about the mark of the beast, talking to you about these little chips they want to pin in you the size of a grain of rice. You don't know what to think. You're a child. But here I am, 42 years old, 37 years later, all of a sudden I find myself in the middle of it. Now, I'm in the middle of it, and I got to take care of my children. It is my responsibility as a parent to take care of my family, my wife, my son, my daughter. I have to stand up and protect them. And this is exactly what I'm doing today. I'm standing up to protect my wife and my children. And I'm not going to allow this to happen. We are not going to compromise our faith for NISD. We're not going to compromise it for the government. We're just not going to do it.
Well, why will they make certain provisions for religious reasons for extreme minorities? And those people should have the right to their religious freedom. It's, you know, part of the tradition of this country, and it makes sense anyway. But why will they run wholesale over huge blocks of Christians and just completely ignore a very well-known provision? I mean, that is a line in the sand for so many people. The RFID chip, the mark of the beast, whatever you see it as, maybe some future technology still coming, but it's all headed in the same direction of control and really disrespect for human individuals.
Yeah, there is a disrespect, and the reason they run over the Christians, because they know if they can squash the Christians and they can squash God's word, they can take over the world and do what they want to do. But unfortunately for them, the book has already been written.
Yeah.
God wins. Okay? The Christian people win. So they can try as they might, but it's not going to it's just not going to work out for them. You know, I would rather be on the side of the Lord and reap my rewards in heaven than reap my rewards here on earth. There's more to this. And I've had the opportunity to witness to people and talk to people the last several weeks, get people saved. I believe that God has chosen us to help to fight this. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would ever think? I went on television in my local news station and said, no, we're not going to do this. And here I am today, two, three protests later, visits with the NISD. I have all kinds of organizations and people from around the world gathering behind us. Who would think one man stood up and made that big of a difference? And then why did I stand up? Because my daughter told me, Dad, I'm not going to wear it. I am not going to wear it. And she's right. She doesn't have to. I mean, she can tell you things that has been going on in the school that the teachers have been telling the students about wearing the badge. It's absolutely absurd.
And you were talking earlier, Andre, about how you're not a product. You've got an image on one of your binders at school about, I am not a product. But this is exactly what they're trying to do, is treat us as human cattle, as we're part of an inventory system. The way they're tracking boxes that come from Walmart and go to stores across the country and everything.
Yeah.
But we're human beings.
Exactly. And that's what Northside seems to forget. They think that we're just money. We're just cattle. They don't think of us as a person. They just think that, oh, they're just more money for our pocket. They're just more money for the budget. But they don't realize that, you know, yes, they have a budget, and yes, they have money, but it's supposed to be for the students. It's supposed to be for the fine arts, for the athletics, for the teachers, not for their own personal gain.
Yeah, and but they always seem to have funding for these high technology control systems. Yeah. But, you know, then they have to cut the arts, they have to cut the sports programs. And
absolutely. You know, Northside just, oh, we don't have any money to do anything, we don't have any money for our teachers, so let's let go all of our teachers, but let's bring in these new chips. That kind of, you know, we're not supposed to have any money, but yet we have enough money for this tracking program. And then this is just the beginning, you know, there's 110 more schools that have to get this chip as well if we don't stop it here and now.
Yeah, and I want to talk specifically about fighting back because it does make a big difference. On the RFID front, they've already moved to chip most pets in many cities, try to put forward the idea that's somehow mandatory. People have, on the other hand, fought back against that because the microchips have been found to cause cancer in pets and animals, and nobody wants to see that. Yeah. But the fact that people have protested against that issue has really hurt the main companies putting out the RFID technology. So they can suffer from us speaking back. It's a consumer issue, but it's also a rights issue. And parental rights, your rights as a member of a public school, that all factors into that. So let's talk about how we could fight back and how do we get other people out there with you helping on this issue?
Well, what we've been trying to do, we actually go out and we talk with people and let people know. But, you know, people can go to spychips.com and read about it. Mm-hmm. All of our protests, all the pictures that we have up there are, you know, they're going there. We have videos. We actually have a video that was released of everybody talking to the NISD board of trustees. Mm. Karen Freeman from NISD said that, hey, you know, we can listen to you, but it doesn't mean we have to act on it. So that tells me, hey, she wants to stay on her grind. But guess what? You know, we have a group of 20 million strong behind us and all kinds of different organizations throughout the world, people from all over the place. Like Catherine Albrecht told me, you put a little bit of fire underneath them, they're going to stop. She goes, so let's light this fire. Okay. I have to give my hats off, my thanks to Catherine Albrecht, Katie Deloitte.
Yeah, she's done a lot of very good work on this, and she has put pressure on specific companies. She's followed them, and she could do the same for these public institutions.
Absolutely. Liz McIntyre, all of them. They have single-handedly put them back by at least 10 years by all these protests that they've been doing throughout the United States and England and all over the world. You know, and I'm proud to be part of that. And, you know, these people need to understand, you cannot mandate to a free society what people have to do. You cannot just say, hey, you're going to wear it and you're going to like it. You can't. We are the United States of America. We are a free nation. We're supposed to be a free nation. We are not United States of Northside Independent School District. They are not a government. And even if they were a government, they cannot tell us we have to wear chips, that they can track us anytime they like. It's enough that they're tracking us with our credit cards, our cell phones, our phone bills. There's some things you can't get around, but this I can get around. This I would say no to. My daughter's not going to wear this badge. This badge was okay, even though it has barcodes on it and has a little scanny thingamabob on the back, but this one is no good. I don't like it. It has two batteries and it has a chip right here. It never turns off. And with that being said, she will never wear it. My son will not wear it when and if it comes to his school.
I mean, we're talking about the privacy concerns, which are the big things, but there's also the environmental pollution. Are these devices safe to even wear next to the heart in different parts of the body? There's been a lot of stuff brought out on different Wi-Fi signals, and this is becoming a problem.
Yeah, it emits a radiation cloud around the body.
Yeah.
Up to 70 feet in diameter, I believe they were saying. So anybody can drive by with an RFID scanner and get your information. Okay. Northside Independent School District likes to say, hey, you know, in their paperwork here it says, you know, you can't scan it outside the school district, outside the school, the four walls of the school. It's not true.
Except they're telling every student to go home with it and show up with it first thing in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we walk home. A lot of my friends, they live right down the street from the school. They walk home. I walk home, and I walk pretty far home. And the fact that somebody could pick up my signal while I'll be waiting for the car to pass scares me, and that is extremely frightening.
It really should. But what kind of message are they sending to the students in the first place that you must accept this? Trying to tell parents with that same hoax they use on the vaccine issue that this is not a negotiable issue. Somehow, just because it's a state government authority, we could just tell you what you're going to do.
Now,
I mean, what kind of kids are we training for the future?
They're trying to condition the kids. They're trying. That's how all of these governmental bodies start. They start with the kids. Let's start with the kids. We condition the children to think it's okay and it's normal to be tracked.
I don't mean to be inflammatory. Hitler said that. He said, get the children, get the women, then you get the whole society.
Exactly. And he knew what he was doing. That's why he did what he did.
Yeah.
You know, you always start with the children. Why? Because they know that's the most sensitive part of a parent's heart. You grab that kid, and that parent's going to go along with it. You grab that spouse, that other one's going to go along with it. But guess what? In Hernandez family, that's not going to happen. My family would much rather be persecuted, and if we have to die for our cause, but guess what? It's not our cause. It's we're dying for our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. I would rather reap my rewards in heaven than reap them here on earth.
And we're supposed to fight back against tyranny. It's in the Bible. You're not supposed to lay around waiting for the apocalypse to happen. You're supposed to be doing what's right and standing up for what's right.
Well, absolutely. You know, if you don't stand for something, then what are you really doing? You're just existing and going through life?
Yeah, doing
you
gotta
what you're told. You got to stand for something.
Yeah.
Got to stand for something. And I keep telling everybody, I can't believe I'm here at this situation at this part in my life. I stood up 2 weeks ago and said no. My daughter said no.
Yeah.
You know, in her school, they're actually bribing the children with candies and gifts to wear it around their necks.
Mm-hmm. I have a class period, my third period. The teacher, she was standing outside the door with a big old bucket of candy, and the kids that had already had their IDs on, she gave them candy, and I was like, where'd you guys get the candy? How come I didn't get one? They go, oh, she's giving them out if you have your ID. And I was like, what? They go, yeah. She said if we wear them around our neck, we get the candy. And I was like, are you serious? And then, you know, they're like, oh, you're going to get in trouble. You'll lose your position on your extracurricular activities like football and cheer and pep and stuff like that. Those coaches are saying that you must wear them and they must be visible at all times. And, you know, it's making it hard even to go to the restroom now because you have to have it on in the hallways. That way we know who you are. If you want to know who I am, get to know me. Sit down with me and talk with me. Don't put a badge on me.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to a name and a face and getting to know people? But the other thing, too, they're trying to control you through peer pressure at a time when you're growing up. You're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to meet other people, make friends, and that's what's going to get noticed, the fact you're an individual, that you're strong enough to stand up for yourself. You're the kind of person people want to get to know and respect in the community. People who just go along with whatever they're told to do, well, that's pretty uninteresting, really.
Yeah, and, you know, I get a lot of people who are supposed to be friends or supposed to be people that are on my side at all times, and then yet, when this issue gets brought up, oh, I don't talk to you, or, you know, just weird, dude, it's not a big deal. But the thing is, it's a really big deal, and, you know, students need to understand that. They need to open their eyes, because Northside is just saying, oh, it's not dangerous, it's not, you know, it's not a big deal. And yet, they track you at school, and they tell you, oh, I don't track you on the bus, but they do. I asked my bus driver, and I said, sir, what is this little thing above your window? He goes, oh, that's for the home project. And I was like, what home project? And he's like, oh, your badges? And I was like, the new ones? He goes, yep. That's what it's for. So now they're tracking my bus ride home, and, you know,
I'm sorry, you have to scan this when you get on the school bus?
No, it picks up the signal just like it does at the school. It picks up the signal and lets you know who's on the bus.
Wow. I mean, really dangerous. All sold in the name of safety, but it's completely hijackable and exploitable by the wrong person in authority. Just like everything.
Absolutely. You know, I'd like to know how this makes anybody any safer.
This is a centralized system. Our government was set up on a balance of powers, knowing that bad people are going to get into power, and it's better for them to fight amongst each other than to give all the power to one person.
And this is exactly what they've done, sir. They have given all the power to the school district and a handful of police officers who can watch this at all times. Okay? They have people thinking, hey, in case of a fire, this would be great. I don't understand. How is it going to be great? Because growing up, and even to this day, everybody has fire drills at school anyways, right? So we all know how to get out of the school.
Yeah.
What about the poor guy who's sitting in there trying to find the last person with a badge? Let's say, for instance, that kid decided, well, I'm going to put my badge over here in the bathroom.
Because it's time to get out of here. I don't have time to grab
exactly.
That badge.
Exactly. So they're doing this for money, and they're doing this for power. It costs $525,000 to implement this program in only two schools. In only two schools. Costs $136,000 a year to run that program. Now take those numbers and multiply it by the other 110 schools. And then take that number of 136,000 and multiply that by those schools. It's astronomical. Where are they coming up with the money? And what people don't understand, it's our tax dollars that are going to this program.
But they want to fire teachers.
But they want to get rid of teachers. They They don't have chairs for psych classes. They don't have books. There's some teachers printing books for students off their printers because they don't have money for books. But yet they have $525,000 to implement a program that nobody wants?
It's really creepy. So what do you think is the best way to get other parents to recognize the danger, other students to realize this isn't such a good idea? How do we start to say no to this, to have the courage to stand up and realize the school is not the ultimate authority? I mean, you've made a big stand already, but have you seen other people supporting you, or are they all just skeptical of what you're doing?
There's a few that support me. I heard about one kid who actually zapped his badge, put it in the microwave, and boop. Zapped it, you know, so I was like, okay, you know, at least, you know, somebody agrees with me. But I have a bunch of kids who are just like, you know, whatever. And I was like, no, it's not whatever. It's invasion of your privacy. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm a Christian. And a kid actually told me the other day, he goes, well, why are you doing this? And I was like, because, you know, you're stepping on my religious beliefs. He goes, well, what religion are you? And I was like, well, you know, I'm a Christian. He goes, well, I'm sort of a Christian. And the first thing that pops in my head, I was like, how can you be sort of a Christian? You either are or you aren't. It's simple as that. And I was like, well, look, you know, this is, you know, the implementing of the Mark of the Beast. And he goes, this is a badge, just wear it. And I looked at him and I was like, okay, if you want to wear your badge, that's fine. But as for me, I will not wear my badge. And I turned around and left him alone.
Well, you understand the larger picture of what's going on. I mean, you're in the engineering department. You're studying for that kind of studies. You obviously know what's in the Bible, know what your religion is. But these people guaranteed can't read their literature books they're assigned, aren't reading the Bible, have no idea what's in these verses. And it's very sad, but we've got to help wake people up and nudge them back to the fact that information is how you empower yourself.
Yeah.
Information is knowledge. Okay. Yeah. A lot of these people are scared. They don't want to stand up for themselves. They're afraid, oh, if I don't do this or tell my child not to do this, we're going to be in so much trouble. But all you got to do is look at us. We're not in trouble. Okay? So for those who are misinformed, we have to find a way to inform them. And how do we do that? We, by these position papers that we presented to the board or trustees, this position paper states why these things should not be used and if you're going to use them, what you need to do. Okay? We've been handing out flyers, position papers. We've been talking to people. We've got websites coming up. The kids have a Facebook that they put up, Gabby and my daughter Andrea. Gabby is another student from Marshall High School who stood up with her mom, who was used to teach in NISD for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And she stood up and she says, I used to be a teacher, a substitute teacher as well, and I disagree with this. And her daughter stood up and said, hey, my name is Gabby. I'm not number whatever her number is, okay?
Exactly.
So how do we get people informed? By doing what we're doing today. We come on shows like this. We go on the internet. We go on radio talk shows. We hand out information. We just talk to people. You know, we're getting to the point where we're getting ready to start knocking on doors in our community. But, you know, we're inviting everybody to go to NISD website, contact Brian T. Woods and the Board of Trustees, and tell them what your objection is. We object to this. We don't want it. We go to WOAI Channel 4. Their poll shows that 71% of people believe this is an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
But those 71% of the people need to get up and say, hey, Mr. Brian T. Woods, we don't want this. We're done with it. I am not afraid to stand up for my civil liberties, my religious freedom, and the protection of my children.
And we better not be, because they're going to keep going and keep going and keep going. Now, specifically, we ought to contact the people locally at your schools in San Antonio, because that's where they're trying to roll it out and get a stronghold. But people all across the nation, this is a national and global show, they need to preemptively contact their school districts and tell them not to even consider this, because it's dangerous, it's costly, as you pointed out, and it's really a destructive force against our privacy and our individual rights. And that's the bottom line.
It's an invasion of privacy. But my first and foremost fight is religious belief. It's my religious freedom, my kids' religious freedom. I'm not going to condemn my children to the pit because NISD wants them to wear a chip. My daughter stood up and she told them at the board, she told the board, and she says, I am not going to compromise my freedom for NISD. And it's online right now. You can watch it. It should be on spychips.com. Mm. And it's there. Let me tell you what, we're going to fight this. This is not just the end. This is the beginning. We're going to put an end to this. No matter what. But our goal as a family and as a community and everybody who does support us, we are putting out information. You see a bunch of papers here in front of you because we're bringing information to you, and it's the same information we're giving out to the people. I mean, we have great support. We have almost 15 different organizations around the world. And you know, from Caspian to We Are Change San Antonio, We Are Change Texas Hill Country. I mean, we have Matthew Medina. We have Catherine Albrecht, Liz McIntyre. Mm-hmm. All these people, Katie DeOise. Katie came to my house and spent the weekend with us to help us put this protest together. She took time out of her schedule and her children and her family to come to be with us. I mean, I am grateful, and I have to tell everybody, and I just, this is my opportunity to give thanks to a good friend of mine named Bobby Scott. If it wasn't for Bobby Scott, I wouldn't be here today. Because I was at work, my phone was ringing, I couldn't get to it, and I'm not supposed to have my phone at work. And at break time, I went and checked, he'd call me six times. So I decided to call him, and I said, what's going on? He said, hey, dude, I called you a couple hours ago because you need a guy on the radio right now. They're talking about you. And I'm asking him, you know, what are they talking about? Because they're talking about you and these chips. You need to contact this lady named Katie somebody. And so I went on that particular radio station's website, contacted Katie DeLoyes. The very next day, I got a phone call, and here I am 2 weeks later right here in Austin, Texas, with you folks. And we have to tell you thank you. You guys are wonderful.
We appreciate y'all standing up and coming out and speaking out, because everyone's against the issue who knows about these larger political issues. How could you not be? But to have a focal point of, you know, someone inside the school system standing up, it's so powerful, because that's where the pressure really falls on them. And these companies who put out the RFID, they can be financially hurt. They can be bankrupted. It's happened. Oh, there'll be private funders and people giving them endless grants later, but still, we could back them off and eventually defeat the system, and this is a great way to start. Did you want to give out that Facebook, because you mentioned that?
Yeah.
Where you're trying to rally people.
Go ahead, honey.
Our Facebook page, the one that me and Gabby created, is called Students Against RFID Tracking, and that is our Facebook page, and you can go and like, and we have videos and pictures and links to spy chips and all these other organizations and stuff that people need to see so they can be more informed.
Great. We hope people check that out. And are y'all doing on-the-street protests or anything like that?
Yeah, we had done one in front of Anson Jones the first day of school. We did it again, did it twice. Then we did one about a week ago at NISD, the Northside Independent School District, district office, the superintendent's office. Then we went inside, and it was Citizens to Be Heard. And there was about six or seven of us that stood up and voiced our concerns. We had teachers. We had people from different organizations. And I stood up, my daughter stood up, and Gabby. So a lot of things came out of that, but we were planning to hold another one. I believe it's going to be on the 25th. I think it's every second Tuesday of the month they have a Citizens to Be Heard. So we're hoping to get hundreds of people to show up out there in support of this. And a lot of things have come out of this, and I've had a couple of people approach me to see if I wanted to run for office after this. So, you know, I was asked if I wanted to run for mayor or city council. And that's something that I would love to do. But right now, in order to get that part, I need to kick this in the
pants. Win this battle.
And I guarantee you, and I promise you right here, we're going to win this battle, because of folks like you who are standing behind us saying, hey, help, let us help you put your word out. That's what we're here for. You know, and folks like you are helping us. I think it's going to really just make this thing just so much more explosive.
Well, I mean, we're human beings. We don't need no stinking badges.
That's right. We don't need no stinking badges.
Yes, sir. I just want to read this quote real quick, and then we'll close out. I'll get your response to it. This is from Carol Quigley, 1966. Do you have the quote in there, guys? I just want to read this, because this system has been coming for a long time. And Carol Quigley writes on page 866, in general, freedom and choice will be controlled within very narrow alternatives by the fact that he will be numbered from birth and followed as a number through his educational training, his required military and other public service, his tax contributions, his health and medical requirements, his final retirement and death benefits. This is a government system. This is a control grid interlinked with the big corporations who see us as inventory. They don't see us as human beings. And they have plans to literally control us from cradle to grave. And RFID tracking technology plays a huge role in that. It's so scary, all the more because they've been planning it for so long. What's your reaction to that, Steve and Andrew?
Well, you know, the fact that they said in the quote that all throughout the education, they're only starting in middle school and high school because they haven't been able to you know, do anything else to the elementary kids. I mean, they're little kids, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to go skip school? No, you know, they're little, they're going to go do their education.
Right.
You know, and in high school and middle school, I understand there's a little bit more of a rebellion kind of thing. But for the most part, majority, they do go to school, they do learn, and they do take their tests and their quizzes and all that stuff. And in fact, they do want to put it in the elementaries where it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary in all the schools, but they want to put it in, and it's, you know, ridiculous to a point where I wish I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours and tell people that, you know, there's so much more to this than just a badge. It's not just a chip or anything. It's a lot bigger, you know. People can find you with this stuff, and you don't even need to know anything about the person. If there's a sexual predator out there, they can find you just because it emits a signal, you know? Mm-hmm. Because they have no boundaries, they have no respect, and they have nothing. So they don't mind going spending $200 off of eBay of all the places, to go get an RFID scanner that can pick you up, you know, when you walk home from school like me and a bunch of friends do. Boop, there you go, I got her. You know, she'll walk home alone tomorrow, and I can follow her home.
And so creepy, and who's going to protect against that?
Yeah, and it's all alone, you know. I'm at the point in time where I'm coming home, and everybody's at work, or they're barely coming home, and all the kids are already home because I get home later than everybody else. And, you know, I walk all by myself, all on this real big street. Nobody out there to protect me but myself.
And that quote in that book is absolutely correct. They, at birth, what do we get? Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you go into school, you get an ID badge. And on this ID badge is your student ID. Okay. You get in a checking account, you have a number assigned to you. Okay. When we're born, we have a name assigned to us. Now it's looking like we don't need names no more. We just need numbers. Okay. When you die, your name goes with you to the grave, but your number is still out there because they know that you're dead. They say, okay, number so-and-so is now gone. Yeah, it's absolutely correct. They track you from the cradle to the grave and in between. And that's the way it is. We are no longer people. We are products. But guess what? Stephen Hernandez, Andre Hernandez, Vincent Hernandez, we are not products. I tell you what, we are products. We are products of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. We are his children. And if we stand for God, he'll stand for us. Or if God stands for you, then who can stand against you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Many people don't understand what that means. What that means is God is great. If he's inside you, if he's your Lord God, your Savior, and he can protect you no matter where you go.
Mm-hmm.
He that is in the world refers to the devil or people who are worldly, who want the worldly possessions right here, right now. Guess what? Your gift is greater in heaven than it is on earth. You see Hollywood and actors and sports guys, and man, they all live in the great life. But not one has opened the Bible to read it. Not if they have. They don't live by it. I'm not saying that we're a perfect family. We all have our faults.
Right.
But I tell you what, my fault is standing up with what is right. This, sort of okay with. This, I'm not. And my family, my children will not wear this. And I ask everybody out there watching this show today, please support us. Go to those websites. Call that school district. Send out emails. Whatever you got to do to help us, we would appreciate it. We're asking for help. That's why we're here today, to tell our story. We want that help. We want people to come out and support us in drones. We want hundreds of people to come out there because it would make our plight greater and make our stance known more. I'm here today to ask for everybody's help, and I want to give thanks to, once again, to my friend Bobby Scott out there. I can't thank him enough. Catherine Albrecht, Liz McIntyre, Katie, Matt Medina, Chris, Steve, every person, Alex Jones. I tell you what, you, every guy that's sitting in the studio today, you guys are all been wonderful, and God bless you all, and we're just asking for help. So if there's anybody out there, feel free to go to those websites. Feel free to come visit at NISD, and let's make our voices heard.
Thanks so much for coming out. Bless you, too.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Glad you're standing up, Andrea. Thanks a lot, Vincent. And we'll be back after this with more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Alex. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. Great job to Aaron Dykes in the first news portion and then also interviewing the amazing Hernandez family standing up against the prison system being established in the government training camps known as public schools in this country. Simply amazing. This is a short segment. We're going to go to break and come back with three InfoWars.com reporters in studio who try to go down and talk to the godlike TSA. We'll have him in studio to talk about the nature of this petty bureaucrat takeover of our society, the petty tyranny that has become a drug. First off, I want to make something clear. Tyranny will come to our door in a uniform. So we spend a lot of time talking about the police, the military, because now they're operating together illegally, just like the NSA spying on us illegally here in the United States. There's an article up at InfoWars.com where thousands of letters of FOIA requests have now been released finally after 2 years with the people and the sobbing stories of their groped children, the hands down the pants, the nightmare. I mean, is there nothing we won't put up with? This morning, I wanted to go take my children swimming, and so I went with my wife and children early this morning, about 7:30, 8 a.m., before I came into work, at Deep Eddy Pool in Austin, Texas. And this is an illustration of tyranny. Now, again, before we go to this tape and play it in full, I want to just point out that we think of the police as godlike from all the Hollywood and TV shows, and they're the good guys, everybody else is the bad guys. Well, no, they can be good guys or bad guys. And in most countries, they're the bad guys. In a free country, they can be the good guys, but they've got to be kept on a very short leash. It's government you keep on a short leash, not the people. And the so-called government's been caught shipping the drugs in to create the crisis. So they also destabilize. Now, the average police officer does mean well. Most of them are veterans. At least a lot of them are. But when they become militarized, they're now trained to kill people and break things, not a mission of a peace officer. So I go to Deep Eddy, that's been there for 100 years. It's a concreted-in natural spring, just like Barton Springs, but Barton Springs isn't concreted in fully. And I'm swimming. My wife's swimming laps. I'm playing with the kids. They're swimming. And all of a sudden, guys in camouflage start marching. And I go, is that the National Guard? Is that the Army? And they go down and they take over the whole one side of the lap lanes from the swimmers that are there every day. I was in the big, you know, general swimming area. And they began getting in the water, and I saw them supposed to just swim a lap. And I saw multiple ones going under, having to be hauled out. I saw then the trainers in red from the police academy show off and have a race. And all of them swam with, in fact, hit pause and on that video, I'll show everybody. I'm not knocking people that can't swim well. The point is that this is supposedly these elite commandos fighting the enemy, the American people. And I'm watching it. And they're swimming, you know, with their head completely out of the water. This is the head trainer is doing a crawl with their head completely out of the water. And again, I'm no, you know, super athlete, but I was, you know, winning, you know, best at heat and major Dallas meets when I was 12 years old. So, and I feel wimpy when I'm at Barton Springs and stuff, and they've got real, you know, former Olympic swimmers and people zooming up and down three times the speed I'm going. I mean, talk about machines. But the point is the cops were kind of walking around like this, staring at everybody. The swimmers were all acting scared because I like to watch psychology while I was playing with the kids. And then all the big tough guys get in the water, and they had to put life jackets on quite a few of them. And so my point is, I've seen so many cops that don't even know how to qualify with a gun. That's why the New York cop shot 9 people and tried to blame it on the guy they'd shot. I mean, it's just really scary to know that who they're looking for. Because if you had an average of 15 regular people just picked randomly, I bet you that you wouldn't find 3 or 4 of them that had to be put in life jackets. And again, the most elite swam like a 5-year-old. It was bizarre. And I'm not here running the police down just to run them down. And then I watched them all put their battle gear back on, their camo and everything. It's all militarized and start marching off. And I'm sure they're nice people. It's just the demeanor of the police trainers was all looking around and acting all. And I just, the men I know that are actually really tough and really dangerous are real slick and friendly and nice and try to make you dinner. You know what I mean? They're just really nice guys. They're comfortable in their skin. You can tell they'll just rip your head out of the socket. And then you run into these guys, especially these new type of cops, that are going to pull you and your family over, and they think they're in Fallujah fighting Al-Qaeda. So go ahead, start the video over. I'll kind of narrate it here, and then we've got just a little bit of audio you can hear, just some ambient audio in the background. I'll kind of narrate it as it rolls out right here. But beautiful. That was at about 8:30 in the morning. And the water's a little bit green because, again, it's a natural pool. There's no chlorine. Evil squirrel. TSA needs to protect us from those. It could have rabies. Wonderful mural there. They've redone Deep Eddy, a big renovation. Lee Leffingwell's got his name all over it, taking credit for it, our horrible mayor. And, again, Morning Glory and police in life jackets. Yes. The guys in the life jackets had to be hauled out of the water. Couldn't even get out. And in fact, we're like struggling and didn't even understand there was a ladder right there. And I think they're hiring like poor kids that have never been out of a lot, you know, latchkey. You kind of watch cop shows and now, you know, lift weights or whatever. So again, very sad, very scary. And I really think it is just not even an educational problem in America. It's a life experience. People haven't lived in this country now. And these are still photos I took. I didn't want to go up and, you know, get in the way of their training that consisted of grown men not able to swim. And then there you can see the regular swimmers zooming up and down, and then they had taken 3 or 4 lanes to themselves over on the far end. And again, I was with my kids. I didn't want to go. I actually felt ashamed for them, so I didn't want to go. See, I didn't have my camera at first. My phone was in the car. I didn't take it with me into the pool, so I had to run up and get it. And then come back because I saw the flailing and the red team leader. Let me show you how you swim, guys. Jumping in, the guys in red, not able to swim. I mean, when the best of you can't swim very well, I don't know. Here's the final equation. I've never seen a group of any people swim this bad. That's all I can say. And again, they were in shorts and had to have life jackets. I don't know what they did once they put the weights on. And you know, simulated their tool belt and stuff getting in the water. And again, I'm not a good swimmer. I swam 2 miles yesterday. You know, I could have swam 10. I ran out of time. But, I mean, I'm not like up here saying I'm Mr. Athlete. I know my body holds onto its fat, though. Like, I guess I came from ancestors that survived famines. I can, like, not eat and I still say fat. All right, that's enough. We're going to come back with an extensive interview straight ahead here on InfoWars Nightly News. And, again, I mean, you saw the footage of police officers in life jackets or cadets in life jackets. And now I'm sure in a year or two when they're cops, they'll be pulling me over. And I'm the one that couldn't swim. And maybe it'll be like in New York, you know, where they give you the special the nightstick treatment. Now, Austin cops, compared to the rest of the country, are pretty darn good. Speaking of Austin cops, we're going to have the evil confrontation with our evil reporters that dare ask questions straight after this break. It's InfoWars Nightly News, and you better believe it's teleprompter free, baby.
Have you been to InfoWarsShop.com lately? Express your inner patriot with these brand new InfoWars t-shirts. Say it loud with the InfoWars bullhorn shirt, or educate the sheeple with the Bill of Rights shirt. Grope the public's mind with the TSA shirt. And with this shirt, you can let the dark side know of the Rebel Alliance's power. All available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And we are back, part of this marathon Thursday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. And we've got three of our great reporters in here, six of the new reporters that just got in the last few weeks, to talk about the amazing event that happened yesterday. I said go out and do man-on-the-street interviews on different subjects that they had chosen to cover. And they decided to go down and confront the TSA. Which, you know, we've stormed the Capitol over it when the legislature said that they were going to unanimously say no more groping, it's illegal, we're going to enforce the law. Obama said, we'll put F-16s over Texas and shoot down any commercial aircraft that try to come in. They set a blockade. And so we stormed the Capitol twice over that. Dewhurst lost his Senate bid, even mainstream media said, because he helped sabotage the legislature. So this has been a big national fight. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, the Drudge Report leading the fight there against the abuses of the TSA. And as I covered in the news segment earlier, now after 2 years of them trying to block FOIA requests by Congress and others, it's come out. The thousands of letters of women having them go in their pants and do things I can't even say on air. Children, people traumatized, pilots vomiting because, you know, these pervert TSA were groping them and getting off on it. It's one thing when your doctor does it, but it's one thing when these are weirdos that want the job to do this. And some are into women, some are into men, some are into little kids. Some of them like to just be mean to people. I mean, it's and you've seen statistically the criminality, the defrocked priests, the rapes. And so they went down there and immediately, they call the cops in. The cops are like, you're being argumentative, you're being, combative, because they're running this hoax that you have to have permission. Our taxpayer money paid for that. That's a commons, like a park. They can say, oh, well, for the security area, you can't. But the point is that they're arresting people all over the country for filming police in public, which there's no perception of public privacy. It gets thrown out of court. They don't care. This is an attempt against the First Amendment by a system that doesn't like citizen journalists. And when you talk about citizen journalists, InfoWars is an outgrowth of that, and there's like a King Kong-sized version of citizen journalist operation. And so whenever these guys are always trying to like scare submissive Americans that act the opposite as an American should act, they get so freaked out when you go, no, the Constitution. And they say, get your microphone back. There's some crosstalk and things, but you can make it all out if you listen carefully later in this piece. I wanted to play it. And then, look, we've got the three reporters right here in studio with us. We've got Dan Bedondi. We've got John Bowne and Linda West right here. John's been with us about a year. Done a great job. Dan's been here about 2 weeks. And Linda's been here just a few days.
Yep.
So all the way from Los Angeles, you've worked in, just introduce you because we haven't done this yet, you've worked in radio, you've worked in TV, you've run a major newspaper, and you also got a restaurant, and you still got that going and part-time, and you're here doing this, so we're very, very excited to have you. And we're going to talk to each of you in turn about this event, Linda, down to Don, Dan Bedondi here in just a minute. But just briefly, Linda, tell us what we're about to see.
Well, we went there because after the story about the LAPD passing that policy one where...
Well, just call it a policy. I mean, right. These aren't laws. They just say, we have a policy, you're a slave. We have a policy, we're going to inject your kids without consent with vaccines or give them an abortion. We have a policy to put you in a pit and shoot you in the head like Hitler did. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, right. And you said, well, that's not legal. So then I was going to do a story asking people how they felt about the TSA. And so I said, well... let's go down to the airport. Let's get in the middle of it. And so we went down there, and at first we started asking people, and it was okay. And then the TSA started coming by, and I tried to ask them questions, and they just act like robots. They're like, no, 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 I can't talk to you. And I'm like, hey, what? We're just Americans. I'm just trying to talk to you.
Well, you're the enemy, though.
Right. And then they're like, well, no, you need to talk to our boss. And then the boss came over, and then he didn't want to talk either. He's like, you can't talk to us. And then the cop came over and tried to intimidate us.
And then you had other cops circling around you. You don't see all of them on tape.
Right.
And, lots of, we got people that are talking about liberty.
Totally. He's like, I'm calling for backup. I'm calling for backup.
My God, a constitution.
I'm talking to him. I'm saying, wait a minute. We're just Americans here. We're just asking people what they feel like. Why are you acting like this with me? We're both people. I'm like, you're probably a dad. I'm a mom. Why are you acting like I'm the enemy? I'm like, and he had that like steely cold look.
Because they're so used to just submissive jellyfish that won't let their kids play outside, that are afraid of everything. I mean, we really are the nation of cowards.
It scared me because there was nothing in his eyes, Alex. It was like, there was no, like, when you talk to somebody and you can see, you know, that they're relating to you, and he was just like, brainwashed.
They think that's really cool to not be connected and not care and not be, and just earlier I played the piece.
Right.
Where the police, I went this morning to Deep Eddy with my children to swim and stuff, and they had like 15 cadets there, and the teachers who were strutting around like the cop trainers, they were having weird races with each other to show the guys what men they were, and they were swimming at the speed I did when I was about six. And they had their heads above, you know, doing the freestyle. Point is, this is the big commandos that we think of as invincible, and we're scum, and they've got uniforms. And then a bunch of the 15 cadets got in and were having to be hauled out and couldn't swim. And then they put them in life jackets. And again, I guarantee you, those guys all came from nanny state parents. And so they think they're going to nanny state you, and they treat you like you're 3 years old.
Yeah.
And that's how this attitude is, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, we were too, and that's why, even though he was threatening us and calling for backup, we didn't move. We're like, wait, it's not illegal. And then we're saying, are you arrested?
Well, it's all a bluff. They will grab people and say, it's the law, you're arrested for filming, when they start groping a woman or groping a man. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. You have a right, while they're doing all this to you, to tape what they're doing.
Right. And he kept telling us, well, you can't go. And we're like, well, are you detaining us? Are you arresting us? And he's like, no, but you can't go. And then, of course, Dan got in there and started telling him about the Constitution, which he seemed to have forgotten that he took an oath to uphold.
Well, let's go to this, and we'll come back and talk about it. Here's about 5 minutes of the event, and then we'll come back and get more from our reporters on this. But in America now, it's radical. And they were kind of scared by the end. They were freaked out that people came to want to talk to us about how we're now past the checkpoint,
right,
past the tyranny training slave point, not security point. Past that, they're sticking things in your drink that you buy inside the airport. And that's a big national news story. So how evil for press to actually show up unannounced and ask real questions. So here's that clip.
Yeah, what's going on?
Nice to meet you. I'm,
I don't want this on right now, all right?
Okay.
We're not going to talk on camera. I got to talk to you offline.
Offline?
Offline. You got that?
Why? Why are you upset? Aren't you the media?
No, I'm just coming to see. I understand that you're talking to some of our officers.
I wanted to ask some questions about the TSA.
We have a process when you come through the media office at this airport. Yeah. Everybody follows it, KXAN.
That's why I asked for you.
Everybody.
That's why I asked for you.
I'm not the PIO for the airport.
Oh.
The PIO for the airport. I represent TSA.
Oh, that's who I wanted to talk to. I wanted to talk to the PIO for TSA.
You just don't talk to me like this. We've got some other processes where we go through the PIO.
Why?
Can you guarantee us an interview?
No, not right now.
I'm sorry.
I mean, if you called ahead, that'd be fine. You know, maybe we could work something out.
Okay.
Show up like this.
Oh, okay. You know, we're just Americans. We're just trying to get the story.
What's going on? You just can't.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like that in America.
How come this is America?
We should be able to talk to each other.
You work for Homeland Security?
Freedom of the press, first.
Okay, you work for Homeland Security?
The bottom line is that. The bottom line is the First Amendment, Jack.
Yeah, the First Amendment, sir.
They could call the videos and all this other stuff.
The what?
The officers, the police officers.
Oh.
So we don't want that.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
So, the thing is, you're a public
official.
Because
they're not allowed to talk?
A public official has to answer in public. This is the First Amendment of the Constitution.
You're a federal agency. What are you going to do to me?
I'm not going to do anything to you.
You have to answer the question in public.
We were just wanting to know, as fellow Americans,
I got 300 million guys, man.
Well, you know, we're reporters. We're just trying to ask people questions.
You've got to be professional.
That's why we ask you.
So your job is to basically come up, tell people that you can't help them.
This is the airport. And again, there is a process. You guys didn't follow the process.
The process to exercise the First Amendment? Sir, could you show me in the Constitution where it says we have to follow process?
It used to be like this.
But we know.
I used to be able to run on the plane, hug people. Well, I got groped last time I came through, and I don't think.
But we know the State Department put the underwear bomb on the plane. That's on record, sir. How you doing, sir? Sir, the First Amendment says we don't need permission.
Yes, you do.
It's the First Amendment. Sir, do you write the Constitution?
Airport 17, CSA request.
So the airport police take orders from the TSA, federal government.
You have to have permission to film at the airport here. You can film as long as you go through the PIO, and they give you authorization to do it.
Authorization to exercise the First Amendment, sir? Why do you guys got to follow orders by Homeland Security? I mean, you're the authority here, not Homeland Security.
I'm not following orders.
But they're the ones who summoned you.
They have a right to follow me to a
Absolutely,
like
but I mean,
any private
but
citizen does.
They're the ones who summoned you for this occasion.
Yeah.
And you, as a law-abiding citizen, sir, you took an oath upon the Constitution to defend it.
You
did. Every officer does. I have many family who are airport police in Providence, Rhode Island, and people who are the state police as well. You take an oath upon the Constitution to have that badge upon your chest, sir. And the Constitution is to defend the Constitution and its republic, not take orders from these tyrannical people with Homeland Security.
They're tyrannical people.
They are, sir. It's on record. It's on record. These guys put the State Department put the underwear bomb on the plane.
Obviously, you want to be confrontational.
No, not at all.
Yes, you do.
I'm just trying to address you as a citizen to citizen. That's all.
You can't.
We didn't do that, sir.
Okay. You went up to one of their BDOs, and he didn't want to ask your questions.
Yeah, and we respected that.
We didn't. For a PIO.
Yeah. All we asked is for a PIO, a public information officer. That's all we asked for. And by law, they have to have one.
These people don't have authorization to film here.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to tell them the proper process?
Yes, sir.
What you got to do in order to film here
is you're going to have to call our dispatch. You got to get with the proper individuals to be able to film here.
I know about that. That's rude.
Sir, this is the Constitution of the United States.
Okay, sir, let me see your driver's license.
Anywhere, I don't have to show my ID, sir.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't, sir.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. It's my constitutional right.
Let me see your driver's license.
I don't have it on me. And the Constitution of the United States says, shall not be infringed. Freedom of speech. Do you write the Constitution? I'm not being confrontational. I'm just standing up here as an American that wants to defend my civil liberties and my rights. And to film in a public place is my taxpayers pay for this airport. Your salaries as well.
Is Jason available?
Jason, I can give you a phone number where you can try to reach Jason.
Okay.
I can definitely do that.
All right. That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's write that down.
I'll write it down. Do you know it off your head or you got to
go?
Yes, I do. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Nothing against you personally, sir. I'm just defending the Constitution that you probably served when you were in the military if you were.
Yeah,
that's all we wanted, sir.
Yeah,
we just asked what it is.
You're being totally confrontational.
We got it all on video, sir.
Totally confrontational.
No, I'm just defending my rights as a citizen.
Totally confrontational.
No, I'm not, sir.
We'll get out of here, guys.
You don't have that right here at this point.
And nobody
so
can be
this ain't American
anybody,
property.
So for
this,
sure.
All right, guys.
Is this
right.
An argument?
Right. Yeah, but
do you want to leave or not?
I'm leaving, sir.
Okay.
But the thing is, I'm asking, is this not or is it property of the United States of America?
Do you want to leave?
I'm leaving.
We'll find that out.
Do you want to leave?
Come on. I'm leaving, sir.
Let's go.
Have a good day.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Now, back that up if you're watching this on PrisonPlanet.tv or on YouTube later, and just really listen to the threats going on and everything. And police who never really face any real threat at the airport that isn't manufactured by the government getting the underwear bomber on the plane, like Dan pointed out, and things like that. Or when TSA goes crazy, strips down naked, starts declaring their God, or starts trying to rape a woman in front of everybody. You know, that happens routinely. They just have total psycho power breaks. These are people that couldn't get a job at McDonald's, and suddenly they've been told you had an 8-hour course, you can read minds, and they just announce, I'm raping you, I'm God. I mean, it's just, this is what the elite wants. The lowest of the low, the dumbest of the dumb, training us that our sons and daughters are now drug away to private rape rooms. Now they've got mobile armored command posts on the highway where they take you to a private, physical rape room, and that's what it is. If you went to a park and grabbed a woman, stuck your hands in her pants and, you know, did that, you would be charged with, raping them. And whether it's the police raping people with nightsticks or their fingers, that's what this is. But it's just this total immersion. They think we're these jellyfish that'll put up with it. Let's start now with Dan Badani and move back down towards Lennon to get her other points. Dan, you just saw the clip again. What's your take on the whole event?
Angry. That's all I have to say is angry, because these people think, you know, because we're supposed to be these slaves. Don't ask questions. How dare you bring up the Constitution? How dare you? And these people make me sick, okay? These are supposed to be men who take a sworn oath upon the Constitution, upon duty. And when you bring the Constitution up, God forbid, you are a slave to the system. And when I told the officer, I put the Constitution right in his face. It says, you show me anywhere, and the First Amendment says, we have to apply for permit, whatever, to exercise our First Amendment. Oh, do you have your ID? I don't have to show you my ID. And they told me, you have to stay here now. Oh, am I being detained, sir? No, you're not. But you have to stay here.
I notice you guys always call them sir. Everybody does, but they never call us sir.
No.
It's now they're the master, we're the slave. They're not the servant. They're the official, the authority, and we are the civilian. They use a military occupying force term because that's what this is. We have been occupied by foreign banks. They brag in all publications, all financial publications. It's a joke. I've heard them on Bloomberg Radio, CNBC. We've played the clips. Financial Times of London, they say, you Americans are our slaves, and they laugh.
Oh, yeah, you see the cop come out, he's like, got his hands on his belt, his chest sticking out, he's like, yeah, you're going to learn to obey me, you're going to learn to shut your mouth and do what you're told, but you know what, I'm not going to obey you, I'm not backing down, that's why I'm wearing camouflage today, because I am declaring war on the New World Order, and so is in John, so is in Linda, so is in Alex, and we are not going to stop. You want to raise your tyranny, you want to raise that bar, we're going to raise the bar even higher. We're going to go out all over the place we can to expose these scum for what they are. And it just makes me sick.
Because I think it's so normal, and by war, the info war. Yep. Infowars.com.
It is. It's an information war against the New World Order. And we're declaring that right now because, you know, we are not going to stop. Okay? We got more reporters here. The InfoWars is getting bigger by the day, folks. And we're going to go global, which we already are global. We're going to go everywhere and expose the corruption of these scum. And
well, it just shows how disconnected. There were probably 50 people at the pool. They were all scared of the cops. Because I get there, also these guys in camo march in. They now have the cadets wear camo. And they have these guys in red with USMC tattoos and everything. And I watched the head guy get in and go, this is how you swim. Like a five. And I was just like, you know, I mean, I wasn't a champion swimmer, but at big Dallas meets, I won blue ribbons and stuff routinely. My kids do. My 7-year-old could swim better than they could. And the commander could hardly swim. And I was just like, and they were like showing off. And there was all these swimmers just racing back and forth. And then, you know, some of the cops, I mean, most of them couldn't hardly swim. The two in the life jackets, they had to put them in them, they had to pull them out of the water. They couldn't even swim. And again, I'm not being mean, but if you took 15 people in an average cross section, old ladies that I know swim better than that, who are like 90 years old, my grandmother is 88, you know, had polio in the 50s, swims better. She goes swimming. And I mean, and it's like, but like they were all strutting around, looking at people that looked at them. Whatever. I don't. The point is that it's a joke. I mean, I watched him like trying to pull him out and all this stuff, and it's scary, man. Because they're all about procedure, and all the cadets would bow to the other guys. It's like we're not monkeys or something, right? Like kissing the hand like chimpanzees do.
Well, speaking of procedure, we went along with that little game at first. We told them, all right, because we questioned the TSA officer.
I noticed even they're not officers either, the TSA, but the point is, it's all lies. I noticed that when they finally sent the airport guy out with his weird red vest, he was bugging his eyes out like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, God, you Americans. Sure,
yeah.
Ah! Don't question us, scum!
Yeah, we need to talk to your public information officer. That's a PIO. So.
And of course, even the PR guy's called an officer.
Oh, yeah.
But we're all, they're officers. Oh, yeah, we're scum. You know. That means we're all in drill camp. So, we're all in, you know, they're in boot camp. So, you see all the psychology of this?
I do, and it's they try to put these intimidation fear factor on you, but it's not going to work.
So you can go be radiated and have a naked picture taken and maybe have some weird convicted pedo grab your testicles.
Exactly. Well, good news out of all this, we did get two people. It's on the full video. We did get two people to opt out. We really did. And, you know, we spread awareness. But anyway, so this gentleman comes along from Homeland Security. We thought this was a PIO. So he ordered me. He's like, oh, so arrogant when the microphone. He's like, how dare you interview me?
How dare you? It's like a new royalty, filthy American.
He's like, take that microphone out of my scum.
And they told me this procedures again. So, yes, sir, we heard that. We're just waiting for the PIO. That's what we're doing.
Well, they don't even, we've done that before. They don't ever return our
and
calls.
Here comes the airport police are acting all macho. I want to see your ID. You know, then all of a sudden the security comes. All these goons come. And tell us the same story, and we say, sir, we are waiting for the PIO.
But they act like it's so evil at the entrance of the airport for media to come in.
Oh, God forbid.
They really did. And I think the best thing was that we didn't back down, and that's what freaked them out. They were like, they're not afraid, and they just didn't know how
to do it. But you didn't let it escalate when he was saying, you're upset, and you weren't. You just kept stating the Constitution, which the one cop sees it and goes, because they're taught that's evil, man. They're taught, I've been on video, that George Washington is bad.
No.
It's in my film, Road to Tyranny. The police, good police sent it.
People are even telling now fathers are terrorists. I mean, they're teaching classes on this. This is disgusting.
Yeah, so, I mean, you pulled out, like, that is America? And to him, it's like, whoa.
I even asked him that. Sorry, is this or is this not United States property?
No, I said, this isn't Stasi Germany. And he goes, hey, he starts coming to us. I said, what are you going to do, buddy?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? He's like, I'm not going to do anything. I said, he gets on his phone. And
they always try to menace, though.
Yeah, he goes,
hey, big guy, you calling your guys now? You going to call your guys so you can feel like a big guy?
Yeah, that's what
I
got.
I got 300 million guys, which means we've got 300 million plus people in this country. All you got to do is read the Bill of Rights.
It's our country. It's not the foreign banks that planted their flag and have got a gang of people that will push Americans around. Okay?
The game's over. It's over. It's over. You had your fun.
It's end game.
We're starting this country over. You're a little handful of people with all the money. We're coming to get you, and it's done.
Yeah, and you told that one guy, too. You know, he was arguing with us. Supposedly, he was the one in charge of the TSA. And then you said, hey, I was born in America. He didn't look like he was born here, and he just
Well, I didn't mean it like that.
I meant, honest.
In England, they point out, it's mainly foreigners that run the CPS taking the kids.
That's what it was.
No, it is. They're bringing in people who come from countries with no freedom, and they love it. They're like, you know, oh, let's.
My point is, I was born here.
Yeah.
I was raised under the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. I'm an American citizen. I'm sorry if you're not. Doesn't matter if you're not. I don't know whether you are or not. But I have these rights, and I'm standing here in your airport, and I'm going to exercise them. I'm sorry about that.
I saw some guys called Wolverine Security about 8 years ago in San Francisco. They were flying to Hawaii for a Pearl Harbor memorial. They were old guys with their wives that looked like they were about to die. They were even older with oxygen tanks.
Yeah, I remember this.
And they'd already gone through the gates. They were harassing them up by the terminal to go on the plane. And this guy couldn't speak English and was gibbering and yelling at some guy that just probably died on his way there. And these are like old men with their eyes peeling down, water dripping out, going, I swear this guy had a USS Arizona cap on. It was, and this guy was in like Cobra Commander blue. It was a little bit in a beret, like, but I mean, no, I'm not kidding, because they had private security for a while on top of TSA. And it was just like, it was like surreal. It's like Red Dawn. That's what this is. This is like Red Dawn in slow motion. They just like, now we're sticking our hands down your pants. Now we've got checkpoints. Now you can't have your kids out playing in the yard. Now we're going to force shots on you. And it's just like, everything's fine. Don't be extreme. Everything's fine.
I'm going to stick probes in your drink, too. Yeah, this is stupid.
Hey, it's to break our will, but it's to set the precedent that anything goes. Linda, we've been ranting. Do you have any other points?
Well, what really bothered me was, you know, the T-shirt you have that says apathy is treason, was all of the people that we were interviewing about the TSA that were okay with it, that were like,
well, no, they think it's cool if they do that. Like the mommy state, whenever you go, oh, thank you for putting me in a microwave oven, thank you for, and the TSA go, back to good, deliciously. Sorry, well, keep going. Let her keep going.
You psychoanalyzed them after a few questions.
Right.
You got to a point where they were like, well, you know, yeah, I got a problem with that.
And yeah, because I kept asking. Yeah, I'd be
they,
like.
They didn't hold.
No. It's fear. Right. It's out of fear. They're like, oh, I don't have a problem.
They got their fear out, and then they could talk.
Yeah.
Well, I see them on the news, and people will, like, fakely go, I love it. Yeah, I like it. You can tell their eyes, like, they don't like it. They're so afraid. They're like, yeah, I really like it. What's wrong with the NSA watching all of us without warrants? I think that's good. Well, shouldn't kids have shots? Shouldn't we force it on them? There should be cameras everywhere. Hi, officer. Oh, sorry. The cops are all, you know, it's like.
Well, that cop, when I remind him about his oath, he goes, how do you know what I took? You know, I mean, everybody knows a cop takes an oath on the Constitution.
Objection, defend the Constitution.
Yeah, and he goes, how do you know what I took? So, sir, you took an oath on the New World Order? Is that what you're trying to tell us? You took an oath to enslave humanity?
He took an oath
on a Cracker Jack box. Why is he taking orders from Homeland Security? He's supposed
Listen,
to
we had cops in Virginia protesting Bilderberg, went to our hotel, and I walked down right when it's happened by the grace of God. I was leaving, and he goes, the guy's going, is he causing problems? Are any of them doing anything? You call us, we're throwing them out. And they're like, no, we like them, because they were like listeners. Like, no, they're great. They're so nice. They're big tippers, too. And literally, the cop turns and he goes, hi. And he acted all like friendly. That's the cover. Oh, hi. And then he was like trying to make these word arguments with me and stuff. And it's like they think deceiving and lying and manipulating is cool. Like, they're on the winning team. Like, well, we're the good guys, so we do bad stuff because, you know, we're allowed to because we're keeping you safe.
Well, it's petty tyranny. And what petty tyrants do is there's always somebody in your family that wants to control everybody or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody you know that's got to take your energy, make you feel sad or powerless. Well, those people have been given these official titles. They're prone. Their personalities are already ready for this. People like us, we don't take anything from those people. Maybe we had those people in our family.
By the way, I noticed this whole office, we aren't trying to dominate other people. It's embarrassing.
No, but we've reached this culture of petty tyranny where it's acceptable.
Oh, you guys were at Barton Springs. I ran into you Saturday. You, Jakari, and David Ortiz. And I'm there with my kids and all about. And you guys are so like, are there any big fish that bite you in here? And I'm like, no, there are some saltwater eels that come here to spawn. You can look at it on YouTube. You're like, oh, really? Like, yeah, they're about 4 feet long, but they're not like morays. They don't bite people. Yeah, I saw it. It's right over there. Are there any alligators around here? And I go, well, actually, their range, if you look at the maps, is from Austin and the Colorado all the way to Florida. But the range about ends here. Every once in a while, they kill one out in the Colorado. And this woman's listening.
Remember that, yeah.
And she turns with like anger, and she goes, stop trying to scare them. There's no alligators. What'd you say?
Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry, we have something to add to that.
Oh, well, but then I look over her nicely and I went, no, I'm saying the Colorado River, that's about the end of the range. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to let you scare them. But it was like, that's the weird nanny state. Yeah. It's like, because it happens all the time, like talking or reading. People now, they're reading at a park, so I walk over and go, why are you reading? Well, I mean, it's now like a
terrorism, isn't it?
Well, no, now it's like just she just thought I was some guy over here going, yeah, there's alligators in there. Don't get in there.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is, she was listening. I saw her listening. And the fact that I had knowledge, like, so there's actually the saltwater American eel. Look it up. She thought it was like showing off or something. Literally, I found like these weird trendies and people that love the nanny state. I mean, just like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, we went through the same thing. So we were filming in front of Starbucks, and this nicely dressed man walked up, and I said, hey, can we ask you a couple questions? And like, and he's like, oh, no, I don't have time.
His
I
body said, language.
Yeah,
is
it was really bad. I'm like, well,
I have five people under me.
I said, it's about freedom. It's about the government. I want to know how you're feeling about the way things are changing. He's like, oh, yeah, I've got somebody that'll be really interested in talking to you.
How long are you going
to
be out here? Yeah. I've got somebody down the block.
And I'm thinking
really
he's going to go in and get a
talking
coffee.
To you. And he comes out and he takes pictures of us and he gets on his, he saunters away because he's a saunterer and he's calling on his phone to his, you know, whoever his goons are. And it's like, you know, were you a hall monitor? Are you calling your mommy?
No, you don't understand. I didn't know this happened to you. I'll talk about this right now. My dad 2 years ago has had a patient for more than a decade. He's treated the guy's mother. And, you know, my dad, you can't tell me the name and stuff because of, you know, patient, you know, privilege, confidentiality. But, you know, my dad has always thought the guy was kind of a, you know, I'm not going to say anything. The point is, not a very nice person. And the guy comes with cards and says, I want you to join Homeland Security. We need you to spy on your patients. My dad almost thought it was a joke. Calls the number, finds out it's all real. They're like recruiting the InfraGuard Stasi. My dad thinks, son, do you think it's because I'm your dad? This is a setup. And I said, no, they're doing it to a lot of people. All these little minders. And I tell them, somebody's kids in the backyard, call police. They're terrorists. There's no real terrorist. It's now a pot plant, spanking kids. Hey, you're a cable installer. Do you see pills on the table? Is their name on it? I mean, so it's gone from terror. But listen, here's the next deal. Then Dr. King, the really nice doctor that worked under my dad. I don't know if you've met him.
He worked on my
Okay, well, you can add it. He goes, my dad about a week later tells me, he goes, well, that's funny. Homeland Security came to my house and wants me to spy on people. What? And then they talked to all the other dentists around town, and most of them got a visit. And a bunch of them got on power trips, and they get little card, little federal card and stuff. So you ran into one of those people.
Yeah, we did.
And I mean, I would love that. I mean, I would have started videoing him. I would have shown his car and said, we ran into a Stasi. So you said, tell me, stop, let's stop now. Let's be calm. Because this is freaking me out. Because we got to end this in a minute. The show's already gone almost 2 hours. Tell me where you were, what happened, what your questions were specifically.
I have a little bit of video of this. I have the guy walking up towards us, and then he, as he went in, he said this smart aleck comment as he was closing the door. He said, I'll have somebody come down here.
Smile on his face.
He probably thinks it's illegal to be on the street with a camera, but I mean, describe what he did.
He was a pretty tall guy, and he had a cell phone on his hip.
Describe from the start, briefly.
We're interviewing people in front of Starbucks, and this guy's walking towards us, and she nicely asks him, would you like to speak with us? And it just automatically, you knew that he was like, well, what is it you're doing?
He's like, lady, I go to Homeland Security meetings. I've reached godhood.
Right.
The status of this.
Oh, yeah.
And I finally found someone to report on.
Say something.
So
wonderful.
So I continue.
So he walks up to us and basically refuses to do the interview and then says, no, but I think I know somebody that would really.
But what was the question? What was the interview about to find out why?
He wouldn't even start the interview.
Well, I said to him, hey, we're just trying to talk to everyday Americans about how they feel about the TSA and what's going on with the government. And then when he said, oh, well, I know somebody that wants to talk to you. And I innocently thought, it's an InfoWars fan. Maybe somebody that really cares.
No. See, they know we're the enemy. I mean, they're building up for it. The 1.4 billion bullets, all of them. They're like, oh, soon, dearie.
Yeah.
So next the photos. Tell me what
that's what he did. He went inside, and he said, are you going to be here for a while? And again, me, stupid, thinking, he says, oh, you're going to get a coffee and come back out and talk to us.
But see, that was the attempt to intimidate you with the photos. Mm-hmm. See, it's like, oh, I got you. But keep going.
Yeah, so then he comes back out, and Dan was interviewing somebody, and you were shooting him. Mm-hmm. And he came, and he stood behind us all, and he started taking pictures. And I put my back to him because, you know,
I wasn't going to give him a shot.
And then he walked across the street, and he's looking back on his phone and everything.
These nobodies get to play secret agent. They don't know.
They don't know
they're recruiting basically everybody. And it's just to see if you'll be a little minion and you're put in a database. I mean, folks, this government is so evil. Continue.
It was just disgusting that another human being, it was so...
No. The Germans, statistically, they've done breakdowns, were much more moral than we are now in the 1930s. And folks, they were ready to kill their neighbors just to be patted on the head by a guy in a black uniform. And these type of people, they would love to take over our society. So how did it end?
Well, he walked across the street and kept walking, and then we were finishing up then because it was the end of the day, and we went and we got back into the car, packed everything up, and as we were driving away, up come the cops. And
slows
they
down right in front of Starbucks.
Yeah.
Those right in front slows down, basically looking for us.
He obviously called the cops.
So, yeah, I mean, this snively little twit on the film.
See, I didn't even...
We got some slaves on the corner protesting. They're exercising their First Amendment. You better come over and arrest them because they're terrorists.
No, but I would have got out and said, officers, and they'll be like, we're just checking to make sure everything's all right.
A couple cops on bikes drove by us when we were starting to do the interview.
They didn't
even stop.
But see, you're like, we're not bad. We're just out talking to people. But see, that's the whole thing of that guy is just waiting for the day to see you go away, maybe even your kids too, like you know, because to them this is power, this is fun. I mean,
he did have that.
It's our country now.
You knew right away.
These are people that don't produce, and they're understanding the power they're going to be given under this evil. They're like craving it.
Well, he come right from the Capitol. He's got this 5-piece suit up in his jacket, you know. I'm too good for everybody. I'm going to club because these little bastards are exercising their First Amendment. How dare they? You know, it's just sick, these little twits.
Listen, the answer is we put the magazine on the street.
Yep.
We fight harder. Everybody supports us. Everybody buys the books, the products, the videos. so we can get more information out. Everybody starts doing their own YouTubes. Everybody starts filming in your own area, calling it citizen journalism. We are the majority, and we're not going to be intimidated by people that call the cops on us.
We should shun these people, publicly shun. I mean,
let me tell you, that guy said that to me. I'd have gotten his face and said, how dare you, you Stasi? You get the hell out of my country.
Well, he didn't say anything. It was more like he, like, insinuated.
We finished our
But I would eventually said, yeah. I got what you're doing, punk. Yeah. I know what you're doing. That's a done deal right there.
I thought he was going to bring somebody down that actually cared about the government and talking about it. John knew right away, though. He's like, he's going to call the cops. He's a rat.
Yeah,
well, if you've been in enough protests, there's always people around that are taking everyone's pictures and putting them in a little database. And hopefully there will be an amendment one day to arrest all those people.
Oh, and listen, they'll have the plainclothes cops and they'll look at you and go...
Yeah. Oh, don't forget.
It's like I'm putting you in a database, you scum American.
Oh, don't forget.
These are collaborators.
Was that the Patriot app on the iPhone? You see something, say something. You push your little iPhone app, and let's take a picture because they're exercising the Constitution.
What are they paying these people to turn things in, or what the heck?
They're paying them.
No. They wanted my dad to spy on his patients, which is so illegal. I mean,
illegal, patient.
But I mean, here's the issue. They're doing it with everybody. And it's not about terrorism. It's what are they saying? What are they doing? And it's just to find out. It's all the managers, mid-level, people like dentists, I mean, people that are over chemical plants, people that are over shipping companies. And these guys have cards and get off on it. And then they find ones that are criminal and start using them for their criminal operation. It's the mafia, folks.
They're criminals. And it's time, and Chris, you talked to Chris Hedges yesterday. It's time for civil disobedience. It's time to go out and find these.
Well, here's the deal. If these bullies are able to get everybody scared and win, the stuff that, look, it's in the Army documents, the re-education camps. They want to send trucks to pick us up. They want to, like the Weatherman, Obama's people said,
it's all
they want
folks.
To kill us.
People
like that. People that support this, it's so good. It's so good, the power, that they really want to hurt people.
Well, they just have no life. Obviously, he had no life.
No.
Because if you get off on something like that, then you don't have a life.
Well, I mean, it's a total, some of them do have a, quote, life, but it's all about the relish of this to their employees and the relish of driving up the nicest car at the golf club and walking in and being mean and like Hillary and all of them, it keeps coming out in the news, like basically the whole governing class doesn't even give tips. They'll have like a whole banquet and people all day serving them, not even a dollar. I mean, they are just,
They're not individuals, they're part of the Borg. And the Bill of Rights, the first four Bill of Rights are about the individual, then five through...
They hate, because if you honor yourself, you want to honor others. If you, what you do to the least of me, you do to me. And, you didn't bring in the stranger, you didn't help the person that was hurt, you weren't a good Samaritan, I do not know you. And that's what God says.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, it's not just that they don't care. They enjoy looking up and down. Because I parked cars in college. I did all of it at some of the richest houses in Austin. Some of the rich people were nice, but a lot of them would like love dressing somebody down for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Love and going, I worked parking cars for about a year, and we were at Rob Roy, probably some $40 million house. And they had told us only like 100 guests were coming, like 300 came. There was only like 6 or 7 valets. We had to go way down. We'd have to run back. It's been in great shape. We had to run back like 500 yards from this dirt parking lot up the road. And I come back, and the quote manager was busy parking cars. So wasn't that many of us. He goes, I want to know where he is. He goes, I want to talk to somebody who's in charge right now. And I was like, very calm, from nice, articulate family. I said, sir, I'm so sorry. He's right down there parking a car. He should be back in just a minute. Can I answer any questions? And of course, the guy. Now I'm more wise. I've learned kind of those old rich guys really hate young, good-looking guys or girls. They just hate youth. Like a normal person who's older sees youth and beauty and admires it and feels good for it. These people hate anybody who's got it better than them. But listen, I'll tell you the story. He goes, listen to me. You're going to be fired, and then you're going to be homeless on the street. And he called, got me fired, and I came into work the next day, and the manager said, hey, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, that guy, he called in a bunch of stuff and got you fired. And I was like, hey, it's all right, because I was in college. I said, I'm already starting my Access TV show, and like 4 months later I was on the radio. But it doesn't matter. I've seen those rich people, or want to be rich sometimes, who will just enjoy being mean to some young waitress. And I've watched it, better looking they are, especially good looking women, they will, you think that's going to get you ahead, they sit there and these mean women and stuff are like really mean to them. I mean, this is an evil country, folks. This is a demonic, narcissistic country.
Can I tell you quick, because it just popped in my head while you're saying that, is
you were in food service before for media.
I was a cook for a while, but before that I did some landscaping when I was in college, and that's brutal work. And I was in the rich folks' neighborhood, and these kids were having a lemonade stand, and I went up and I bought lemonade from them, and the mom runs out because she saw that I was with the landscapers, and I was like, oh, that's a great idea. They're making some good money there. And she goes, yeah, hopefully they won't end up like you.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. I live in a middle-class area, and like when people come out to work on the house, they'll go, you know, nobody's ever nice to us or talked to us. And these wannabe yuppies who aren't even wealthy, usually they're leveraged out, you know, have three cars, a $500,000 house, and they're the worst. They treat anybody like crap under them. Just, gonna get you. And that's what this whole culture is. It's not just the cops. It's not just the TSA. Because even if a TSA worker only makes, you know, $20 an hour or whatever, which isn't bad, but the point is it's taxpayer paid for off of the security fee they do, so that's why they put an underwear bomber on the plane to get the security fee. That's why they staged that new thing today, clearly, because all the news is out about the drinks, and there's, a hoax about a bomb with an
just
drink.
Just in time.
But that's their class. That's what they've got now, is they get to be mean to people all day.
And the NSA didn't call you.
Even though they called.
Yeah.
And we have it on them. But anyways, that's enough of that, guys. That's it. Is that when you watch Caddyshack or something, and he's like, yeah, you know, I don't know about enough money or get a scholarship. He goes, well, the world needs ditch diggers, too. Well, if that's the whole point, okay, sad he's got to be a ditch digger. He relished that the world needs ditch diggers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the Rodney Dangerfield, who's really a funny character, and has probably got 100 times Judge Smale's money. And he's like, I'll take 3 of these, 4 of those, trying to, you know, spread the wealth around. Here, buy yourself something that looks good. You know, move up in line. Here's $100.
That's a happy guy. Well, he's got friends.
But those are rich Hollywood guys kind of telling you how the world really works right there. That whole movie is how the world really works.
Right, it is.
Well, a lot of wealthy people that are really wealthy and have made their own wealth, they're conscious and good people.
Well, that's like Ty, the pro golfer in it when he's like, you know.
The pond to be good for you.
Yeah. But even that's a little comment. Well, you're going to come out of the house. But not because he was poor, because he was so weird.
It's the climbers, the ones that want to climb up to the next rung, so they're going to be mean to other people because they think somehow it'll raise them up.
And they wonder why they're not happy. They wonder why they don't have any future, because you're not going to be happy crapping on people.
No.
I mean, it
comes down to that addiction to petty tyranny. And that's the basis of Satanism, Luciferianism, the people that are all running this.
The petty tyranny addiction. The drug of petty tyranny.
You know, Confucius said when an elephant's down, even a frog will kick him. So, you know, this guy.
Yeah, but I never feel good when I see some big person fail or fall if they're not a bad person. Now, if somebody's really evil, I don't even get happy for that anymore. I just think, man, how sad they were evil. You know what I mean? I never get, like, you know, going out to a cocktail party or something, and there's some really beautiful women there.
It's humility.
Or, like, really handsome men there, and other people are, like, mad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really strange.
I think humility is based in love, you know? But if you're not able to be humble, then you go to this empty, soulless place where you put everybody down and you just suck.
Well, look where it all starts. It all starts in places just like the airport. You know, the system wants to make you feel timid, keep your head down, don't look at me, you know, just go through the scanners, we've got to put our hands down your pants, keep your mouth shut, get on the plane, and sooner or later you're going to get the taser bracelets that they were calling for.
Can you believe that Homeland Security actually entertained making us all wear taser bracelets and said they like it, but they don't think it's that feasible? Hey, this has been an amazing talk. Great job. How radical you are to actually go and want to talk to the media officer.
Bring it on, you know. We're not afraid of these people.
Wait till Formula One.
Well, okay. Exactly. Well, no, the whole city sold us out. We had to pay for the whole thing. Also, the mayor can sit in the box like a parrot higher in the tree.
Yeah.
That's what all this is about.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey,
that's hilarious. Like a parrot higher.
Well, you know, with like cockatoos, Australia, like the dominant one wants to sit at the top.
Right.
You know.
Sue a graphic with Leffingwell's face.
Hey, great job, guys. Right. It's great having you. You brought so much energy to an already incredible operation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this edition. If you believe in what we're doing, no, they're all behind the scenes trying to shut us down. I don't even give it attention. All sorts of dirty tricks, you name it. Buy the books, buy the videos, buy subscriptions, 15-day free trial, six memberships for $5.95 a month. You can share your username and passcode with up to six people simultaneously. It's all right now up there at prisonplanet.tv or infowarsnews.com. Buy the ProPure water filters at the lowest price anywhere on the web by 10% with the promo code water at infowarsstore.com. Because they're scared of us. We're having a huge effect. And for all the AM and FM stations that are picking us up and putting us on, it shows how far this message has gone. That Matt Drudge is supercharging us. We love you, Matt. Thank you for your courage and what you're doing. I know behind the scenes they try to get you to stop linking to us. To everybody supporting us, people realize we're putting our lives on the line. Believe me. And you know what? It doesn't matter. We're going to beat these people. We're not turning the world over to these scum. CPS is grabbing thousands of children today to do unspeakable things to them on record. Okay? That's the danger. This government is evil. We will stand against it. It's illegitimate. You are foreign occupiers like Vichy French working with the Nazis. You are collaborators and you are enemies. Those of you that aren't enemies of the Republic that serve the system as bureaucrats or as corporate minions or as InfraGuard, you better decide which side you're on right now. So everybody vote by spreading the word about the show, the radio, the nightly news, and vote with your dollars. Support us so we can turbocharge the next level. Visit InfoWarsStore.com for mid-air refueling, as I call it, because we are backed by you, the people. We don't take your tax money and then use it against you. We don't force you at the barrel of a gun to give money to us. We say, if you believe in what we're doing and you share this lust for liberty, this desire to defeat tyranny, if you feel the way we feel, if you know that this has gone on too long, then join us now. Literally, the destiny is in your hands. That's it for this edition.